Hello, math friends. I am Jody Leach.
And I am Sarah Regenbach. We are both fifth grade math teachers at the Butler Middle School. Please stand and put your right hand over your heart and join my 3-year-old son and 7-year-old daughter in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Just a few reminders. You can access student assignments and teacher office hours on the Butler Area School District website. If you have not received an email from your building with assignments, please contact your child's classroom teacher or principal.
Today, we are going to talk about ways we use math daily at home since we've been spending so much time here lately. Mrs. Leach, how is math being used in your home?
Actually, Mrs. Regenbach, I just used math last night when I was making a recipe for our dinner. Mrs. Regenbach and I have brainstormed our 3 main ways that we use math in our homes. See if they are similar with how math is being used in your home.
While we've been home, math has been used with calculating time, preparing food, and, of course, money. We're going to talk a bit about each use of math and do a few real-world problems for different elementary age levels. Please take a moment to find a piece of scratch paper and a pencil. It will come in handy in a few minutes. The first way we use math in our home has to do with time. In our homes, we have different amounts of time that are important to us. We have many amounts of time in a day. The amounts of time in a day include hours. How many of those are in a day? If you thought 24, that's right. How many minutes are in each hour? If you said 60 minutes, that's correct. How many seconds are in a minute? If you said 60 seconds, nice job.
There are other amounts of time that are important to us in our lives. How many days are in a week? Did you say 7? We're not talking about a school week or a work week, which would be 5 days. You can't forget about those very important weekend days.
Speaking of the weekend, Mrs. Leach, why are Saturday and Sunday the strongest days?
I don't know, Mrs. Regenbach. Why are Saturday and Sunday the strongest days?
Because all the others are weekdays.
You are so funny, Mrs. Regenbach. Have you ever tried to figure out the number of weeks in a year? If you think of a normal year in the modern calendar, we have 365 days, which when divided by the number of days in a week, which is 7, it ends up being about 52 weeks. Wow, that's a lot of time.
In the real world, every single day of our 365-day year can't always be perfect, of course. Sometimes we need a little break to reflect on our behaviors. I have a 3-year-old who has some typical 3-year-old behaviors. If you have younger siblings or relatives, you know what I'm talking about. A timeout for him lasts an extremely long 3 minutes. He feels like it's forever. How many seconds is he really using to reflect on his behavior? Use your paper and pencil and see if you can figure it out.
Mrs. Regenbach, I came up with 180 seconds. If you added 60 seconds repeatedly three times. 60 plus 60 plus 60. You would get 180 really long seconds for your son in timeout. Some of our upper elementary students would probably use a different operation. Did anyone try multiplication? 3 multiplied by 60, or the turnaround fast of 60 times 3. They all equal 180 seconds. On your piece of paper, list a few of the categories of many different activities that fill your time each day. These are not like the small amounts of time you use for brushing your teeth, tying your shoes, or changing your clothes. Try to think about big categories like eating, sleeping, etc.
Mrs. Leach, I thought of a few general categories of activities that occupy our days here in the Riggenbach household. Sleeping, eating, pre-play, outside time, family time, electronic time, TV time, and bath time. At some point after this broadcast, try to figure out how much time you spend each day in each category you came up with. It all should add up to 24 hours, in other words, your entire day. Some of our upper elementary students are somewhat up for a challenge. Try to create a pie graph or a circle graph to show your amounts of time. Remember, a pie graph is made using percentages, which all total 100%. You will have to do a little research to figure out how to make your total hours in a category into a fraction, which then can be turned into a percent. Some of our fifth graders or sixth graders that remember how it was done from last year may be able to do a pie graph using some of the skills you learned in STEAM about how to use Google Sheets. If you can, feel free to share it with your STEAM teacher to show what you've learned. I'm sure they would be impressed. Hey, Mrs. Leach, have you ever heard of the phrase, time flies when you're having fun?
I sure have.
Do you know how else you can make time fly? Throw a clock out of the window, of course. A shout-out to our very own Mr. Takus for that joke. If you tuned in the other day, Mr. McCool and Mr. Takus had a very entertaining broadcast about all the wonderful scientific things happening during our time at the Butler Middle School.
Well, that's enough time, given the time. The second way we brainstormed of where we use math in our homes involves baking or cooking. With all of the restaurants being closed for eat-in dining, most of you are probably spending more time eating at home. This may mean following or making food, following a recipe.
We sure have here at my house. Pinterest has been my friend lately. We are trying new recipes, and my children are helping make these items to practice with measurement. Measurement is a huge component of math. Let's think about some of the measurement tools we use while preparing recipes to bake or cook. Think of those measurement utensils that are in the drawer or cupboard at your house. Mrs. Leach, can you think of any to help our listeners?
Well, Mrs. Riggenbach, I thought of a few. Many recipes use a cup or a fraction of a cup, like 1/2 cup or 1/4 cup. Some of you may be visualizing those plastic or metal measuring cups, or perhaps a glass or plastic measuring cup that is mainly used for liquids. These measure the volume of the ingredient. Other ingredients in recipes are needed in much smaller quantities. This is a fancy way of saying lesser amounts of those ingredients. Some smaller units of measure we use in baking or cooking that come to mind are tablespoons, teaspoons, 1/2 teaspoon, 1/4 teaspoon, and 1/8 teaspoon. These are all units of volume measure that we use in our daily cooking or baking when making something from scratch. That's what we call it when we don't just use a prepared meal or cake mix that is pre-measured or ready to bake, cook, and eat.
Mrs. Leach, I thought of a few larger units of volume measured that we use in the customary measurement system in the United States. These include things like gallons, quarts, or pints. They probably won't be used in your recipes at home, though, because they measure larger amounts. But they're probably around your home somewhere. I bet you can think of something you purchase that comes in a gallon, a quart, or a pint. Think for a moment, and perhaps Mrs. Leach can help us out again.
Mrs. Riggenbach, let me look around my house. In my refrigerator, I found a gallon of milk and a gallon of orange juice. My husband reminded me that we buy gasoline by the gallon and oil by the quart for our cars. My daughters have their yummy chocolate brownie Ben and Jerry's ice cream in our freezer, and that's sold by the pint.
Let's go back to the smaller quantities of measurement again. In January, my 7-year-old Girl Scout had an event with her troop. We decided to bake cookies for the annual fish fry that's held at the church where we have our meetings as a community outreach activity. As one of the troop leaders, I volunteered to go to the store to purchase the ingredients. The chocolate chip cookie recipe we selected calls for 3 cups of flour per batch of cookies. A batch made 2 dozen cookies. Our troop wanted to donate 6 dozen chocolate chip cookies. Wow, there's a lot of math going on in this problem.
Wait a minute. How many dozen of cookies was your Girl Scout troop making?
Well, Mrs. Leach, 1 batch made 2 dozen of cookies. 2 batches made 4 dozen of cookies, since it's just 2 dozen more. 3 batches gave us the exact amount we needed to provide 6 dozen chocolate chip cookies for the fish fry. Did you add repeatedly? I wonder if anyone used a different operation again.
Actually, Mrs. Riggenbach, I multiplied 2 dozen times 3 batches to get 6 total dozen. Or possibly some of our upper elementary students took what we needed to donate, which was 6 dozen, and divided the 6 dozen cookies by 2 dozen per batch to get the 3 batches we needed to make. We call this working backwards, or what fifth graders know as the inverse operation. There are so many ways to solve a problem.
Good job working out that problem, Mrs. Leach. For a brain break, here's a joke for you. What kind of keys do kids like to carry?
I have no idea, Mrs. Riggenbach. What do they like to carry?
Cookies, of course. My kids sure like to carry those around. Oh, no. We still didn't figure out the amount of flour that was needed for the Girl Scouts to make these delicious chocolate chip cookies. Let's go back and review. We needed 3 cups of flour per batch. We're making 3 batches. So how much flour do we need to make all 3 batches of cookies? We'll give you some time to figure it out.
C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C.
Mrs. Riggenbach, I came up with 9 cups of flour. Some students probably chose to repeatedly add 3 plus 3 plus 3 to get 9 cups of flour, while others, again with that multiplication, could have multiplied 3 cups of flour per batch times 3 batches to get a total of 9 cups of flour. That's a lot of flour. Hope you correctly calculated out how much money you needed for all your ingredients before you went shopping at Aldi.
Speaking of money, Mrs. Leach, what is brown, has a head, a tail, but no legs?
No idea. What is brown, has a head, a tail, but no legs?
A penny, of course.
You are so full of funny, Mrs. Riggenbach.
Thanks, Mrs. Leach. Money is the third way we brainstorm that we use math in our homes. First, let's start simple. Let's think of some denominations of money.
Wow, that doesn't sound simple. Denomination, that's a big word.
D Denomination is just a fancy way of saying the different money values that we have in our currency in the United States. Mrs. Leach, can you think of any denominations of money that you're familiar with? Hopefully our listeners can think of a few as well. While you're thinking of those values, we're going to play an audio recording of one of our favorite Shel Silverstein's poems entitled Smart. While you're listening for denominations of money in the poem, listen to find the mathematical misunderstandings that were taking place.
A poem? I think our listeners thought that this was a math broadcast.
Well, contrary to popular belief, we actually do read regularly in math class. Not just word problems, even poetry can involve mathematics. Now for our poem.
Smart, by Shel Silverstein.
My dad gave me a dollar bill, 'cause I'm his smartest son, and I swapped it to Mort for two shiny quarters, 'cause two is more than one. And then I took the two quarters and I traded them to Lou for three dimes. I guess he don't know that three is more than two. And then just along come old Blind Bates. And just 'cause he can't see, he gave me four nickels for my three dimes. Four is more than three. And then I took the nickels to Hiram Coombs down at the seed feed store, and the fool gave me five pennies for them. Five is more than four. And then I went and showed my dad. He got red in the cheeks and closed his eyes and shook his head, too proud of me to speak.
Did you hear the mathematical errors? Do you think he really made his father proud? He started off with $1 and ended up with five pennies. This poor kid thought that just because he had more of the coins in his hand, he had more money.
Poor kid is right.
That poor kid reminds me of the story I tell my math students each year about my daughter, Alexis, getting fooled by her poppy when she was little. He would offer her five pennies or a $1 bill to play with. And since she didn't understand the value of money, she would always choose the five pennies because they were way more fun to play with than a piece of paper. Little did she know, she was choosing the lesser value of money. So, like our poem, the amount of items increased, but the value of each item was actually less. Our character came home with a smaller value of money in the end. Do you know how much money he actually lost in the trades that he made? Leach, I calculated 95 cents was how much money he lost. I bet many of you just subtracted the 5 cents he ended up with from the $1 that he started with to find the difference between the values. Now that we've heard a poem that involved money, I hope you remember a few of those denominations of currency. Mrs. Leach, which ones did you think of? I'm going to list the ones I came up with in order from smallest value to largest value. The penny is also known as 1 cent, and it's worth 1 cent. The nickel is worth 5 cents, or five pennies. The dime is worth 10 cents, or 10 pennies. The quarter is worth 25 cents, or 25 pennies. And the dollar bill, it's worth 100 cents, or 100 pennies. There are larger bills, but we often don't think of them compared to cents. But technically, they are worth a large amount of pennies. Speaking of pennies, Who is the president on a penny?
Oh, that's easy, Mrs. Leach. That's good old honest Abe Lincoln.
Not only are you funny, but you are way smart, Mrs. Riggenbach.
Well, let's discuss those larger values. The $5 bill is worth 500 cents. The $10 bill is worth 1,000 cents. The $20 bill is worth 2,000 cents. You are very lucky if you've seen a $50 or $100 bill. There are some other special denominations of money that you may not see as much in circulation, including the half dollar. Mrs. Leach, do you know how much that is worth?
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Riggenbach. It's right in the name. Half of $1. If a whole dollar is 100 cents, then half of a dollar is 50 cents, which is 2/4.
There's also a really special denomination of money called the $2 bill. I can remember getting one of these for a birthday present and thinking it was the coolest thing ever.
Me too, Mrs. Riggenbach.
I never spent mine. It turns out it's really just worth $2, unless you have the special versions with a red seal. It is still an uncommon bill to see in circulation, meaning being spent in the real world. So how is money important to you and your home? Let's think about some ways, without even leaving your home, that you are spending, saving, or using money.
Riggenbach, here are a few things I came up with quickly that involve money in our household. Buying things online from Amazon, Walmart, Target, Giant Eagle Grocery Pickup. We spend money on chores, paying some allowance, savings, and paying bills. Ugh.
Speaking of bills, how did dinosaurs pay their bills?
I don't have any idea, Mrs. Riggenbach.
With Tyrannosaurus checks, of course. Anyhow, while we're on the topic of paying bills, some that we pay monthly include electric, gas, water, garbage pickup, phone bill, mortgage, car payments, and many more. During this time of remote instruction, one service we pay monthly is our very important cable internet that is provided by our local Armstrong Cable Company. This bill is considered a recurring bill.
Mrs. Riggenbach, what does recurring mean?
This means that each month we pay the same amount to get that service provided to our family. Depending on your plan for cable internet, the cost is around $40 a month. In our family budget, which is the amount of money we spend each month, or the grand total spent per year, we need to make sure we have enough money during the year to pay for this service. So, how much should I plan on spending per year for cable internet in my home?
Well, Mrs. Riggenbach, since there are 12 months in a year, then you could add $40 together 12 times. But that's a lot of adding. I bet many of our fifth graders use the multiplication strategy that would take the place of this repeated addition.
Well, Mrs. Leach, you were thinking what I was. Boy, this problem would be way faster if I could just multiply. I could just count by 4 12 times and get a total of 48. And then think of that 10 times. $40 per month times 12. My students often think of the basic fact of 4 times 12, which is 48, similar to what we did with repeated addition. And then they multiply that times 10, because 4 times 10 is 40. This is one way of breaking down the problem using the properties of multiplication.
Another way to solve the same problem would be to take $40 times 10 months to get $400. Then add $40 two more times to $400. Since I have only accounted for 10 months rather than the 12 months, many of our students do this since it is an easier way to multiply by 10 facts. I still arrived at the same total of $480 for a year's worth of cable internet service from Armstrong Cable, Mrs. Riggenbach.
$480 sounds like a lot of money, but that's the fuel for a year of YouTube videos, Roblox, TikTok, Halo, Pinterest, Instagram, Snapchat, Fortnite, email, and much, much more. Not to mention, this is for an entire year of cable internet service. That's 365 days of connections to our world around us without leaving the comfort of our own home. So about how much is this really costing our family per hour to have this vital service that feeds our electronics all day?
Well, Mrs. Riggenbach, $40 per month. If I share that equally between the number of days in a typical month, I can estimate that, since there are typically 30 days in a month, I'm spending a bit over a dollar per day to have this luxury at my fingertips.
Wow, how did you get that?
Well, I took $1 per day to have the service would be about $30 per month. $1 times 30 days. $2 per day would be about $60. 2 times 30. So it has to be over a dollar, but less than $2 a month.
Well, if our listeners are up for a challenge after this broadcast, try to figure out exactly how much we're spending to the nearest penny for cable internet each day on a typical 30-day month. Remember, you are spending $40 for the whole month. You can share your results with your teachers. I am sure they would be excited to hear you're doing some long division with real-world questions.
Well, we hope you have enjoyed thinking about math in your home. These three ways are just a few uses of math. We are sure you could come up with many more. We hope that you try some of those challenges we gave to you and reach out to your teachers. We miss you and hope you are staying safe.
One last math joke before we all go. Mrs. Leach, what did the science book say to the math book?
Once again, Mrs. Riggenbach, I don't know. What did the science book say to the math book?
Wow, you've got problems. Anyhow, we did a lot of problems today.
Hey, Butler Middle School, this should sound familiar.
Be respectful, be responsible, be safe.
Stay classy, Butler Middle School, Butler School District, and have a great educational day.
Thanks for tuning in.